Замечательно. День добрый, друзья. Сегодня мы будем...
Good evening, dear friends. Today we are going to speak about the future.
До 2050 года нужно...
So the topic is future 2050, so we have to understand that that will be about long-term perspective, which is not so clear. So the topic is strategy goals and tasks for Russia for the development and evolution in the second half of the 21st century. We have heard a lot of stories, but the world is not a continuation of the present. It is undergoing serious changes, and when we talk about these processes, we do not have to seek for answers in the past, but we have to take a model and see what forces and what relations come into life, which ones are changeable, which ones are constant. We are used to having many things that seem unchangeable.
Десятилетия проходят, и все меняется.
Change in a decade or so. For a Soviet society, there were some principles, now they are totally others. And if a person from the 1980s saw our society, he would have been shocked. And when we talk about the future, we have to clearly understand that there is a historical process where there are three important key elements. The first one are public laws, and that is something that we try to find in history, economy, sociology, politology. The principles that seem clear for us, that is science. And another factor is personality in history, the role of a person in history that changes scenarios, changes directions. The classical example is the February of 2022. Personality changed history, and we all saw it online, how the change from one to another took place. But that was not carving a totally new future. That was the future that was intensified, that became more significant. Can we find these options? Yes, we can. And multi-optional future does not mean that there are endless numbers of it. If we take the options that are significant and attainable, their number, 3, 5, the whole world, the whole 21st century has a dozen of scenarios for the world. All the rest are there. Changed states or some miraculous options that are unattainable, and that can be the world of cities or poles or whatever else. And then what is added is the unseen providence, God's will, and in one point there is genius and the evil, and like it happened with the Soviet Union, that was destroyed because of the leaders who came to power. And if in the 1990s we looked at the horror of annihilation and crash of our country and compare it with what we would have several years later at the end of this active counter-opposition to the West, we would say that it is a wonderful option to come from point A to point B. Yes, that we would say was a great epoch of great changes. We are in the situation when the world is changing seriously, when the things that we're used to having as constant stop being so. We are at the end of scientific and technical progress, that's it. We are at the end of 400 years of capitalist expansion. We are at the end of capitalist cycle. We are at the end of
economic.
The main competition on the matters of economy for the recent 30 years. We have come to a new principle where the war for space, the wars of the future become the basis, become something that or the underlying point of the events happening. And an interesting factor that comes afterwards and that is neglected by many, something that was a constant, is the demographic principles. We are used to having the need of many people. We are used to the need of increasing birth rate and the fact that we need more and more and more people, otherwise we will lose competition. And in the recent decade, globalization was seen as a full opening of everything and everybody, and we had a share of information, people, capital. It was a sole set of norms, and now who said that in the world of the future there has to be free capital or people flow? The world is changing, and we have to understand that. We have to move towards that, proceeding from new input data, from new brief, and we look at the mid of the 21st century and see that the basic things that a lot of public science is based on do not work. Recently, the whole public science has been based on some ideas that are non-existent anymore. The world is going to another state where demography issues are not that important, and we can now consider the demography of the mid-20th century. Fertility index is 5. 5 children on average from a fertile woman. And now it is 2.25. A couple of years ago it was 2.3, and it is going down everywhere. In Islam countries it has reduced to lower than 3. So they stop giving birth everywhere. We thought that it was a particularity and problem of our culture. That is what we saw in the 1990s and something that we went through in 60 or 70 years. These countries go through in 20, 30 years. That is something happening in Southeast Asia. China has faced that economically. Nothing has deteriorated in 10 years. And back then, they had 18 million people born, and now they have 8 million with the fertility index of 1. Has anything improved economically? No. Has anything changed? No. We do not understand what is happening with humankind and how to manage that. That is a very difficult system. We thought that it would be easy to fine-tune it, to calm down. No, it turned out that to stop the process was easy, but to launch it again is extremely difficult, and we're going to have many challenges of that kind. And all our social sciences, all our public spheres, social spheres face that. And that is a catastrophe of change. And now our task is to find how to work with that and how to overcome the third demographic transition, where we have people moving from countries with high birth rate to countries with a low birth rate. In Turkey, the fertility index is less than 2. And that is something that is happening in many countries. That is culture. That is understanding. Something that used to be a norm. And how many children God gives you, that many you will bear. And now everybody decides whether to give birth to the children or not, to babies or not. And it is at the fertility point, not abortion points. And the whole world now takes all those hormone pills that prevent conceiving babies. And the world is changing, and we have to reconsider ourselves in that world. Out of all those principles, the easiest and most clear is the breakdown of the world. And we are not moving towards a multipolar world. We will go to the world of pan-regions. So it will be split not only of metropolises or center into parts, but periphery will also split. It is like a cell mitosis. It's started dividing, and it cannot stop at the semi-position. It will go deeper, and in the 2030s, we will come up with our own pan-region from 250 to 300 million industrial population, and attempts to fight that and attempts to find people living in pre-industrial principles do not work, are not efficient. Attempts to find mechanisms of management, like in the past, do not work. And you cannot replace external migrants with internal. You cannot resettle to villages. We cannot have reservations with higher labor productivity than in the cities. We have to abandon processes of labor separation
to
grouping it differently. And
Галушка,
who spoke about the economy of Stalin before me, is closest to from all. And we have come to increasing quality and the net cost, and these are the approaches that we have. It's not when we simply build three new factories and conquer new territories. No, we go deeper. We think how to make it more efficient by a factor of magnitude. And within the framework of previous technology for strategic domineering or parity, we needed around 300 missiles that could annihilate the U.S. With SORMAT, it means that the number is less than a dozen, and there will be no U.S. In terms of production, the difference is not that much, but that is improvement by a good factor. And robotics, that is another thing. We should not think how to replace one group of migrants with another, but we are thinking about how to change production size. And now the all Asia is crying and dying because they have to take all the water from rivers just to water their plants. But they had to think about sprinkling and not that. And dying out of Central Asia is a topical question. In three years, they will dry out all rivers and nothing will flow into the Aral Sea. And no water will flow beyond Bukhara. Turkmenia will have to turn off the canal of Bukhara. And here are just some examples of the changes. Then a question is, how should we set our goals? And we have to point out the spheres that we have to change our country in, factors of subjects and independence. So for the country to live on, three things are needed. First, natural productive forces, resources, soil, water, and many others. The second point is technologies, own technologies. We have to own our own technologies and science so that would enable us to use these productive forces into consumption. And the third one is passionarity, not the population. Africa has a lot of resources in terms of population, much more than us. In Australia, there are more resources than in Russia. And so what? How many people there are in India and China? It does not give the effect. The history of the humankind is not a large population, but that is passionary people that are capable of changing history. 300 horsemen conquered India and created the empire of Mongols. Have a look at how China was conquered. Every time that was fewer and fewer people. So the question is in quality, and the question is in passionality, and that is energy. Haidun principle, and the first generation of nomads comes from the desert and kills out the leaders. The second one develops the land. The third one goes on developing their civilization, and so on and so forth. And To increase passionarity, we have wars, and humankind knows only this option. And there have been different operations in Afghanistan and so on and so forth, not people's wars, and we lived through perestroika. What we should mobilize is not the armed forces, but the country, the population. We have to go through these challenges all the time. Regrettably, that is so. 10 persons will go there, 1 will die, the rest, 9 will go on living, survive. Have a look at the people who come back from special military operation. They now have the sense of life, the point of life. Some of them used to just live because for the sake of living. Now they have become higher, and the country needs these people. And they have to come back like frontline and the rear workers did after 1945, and we need a total rotation of all municipal level of civil servants to be replaced by those who will come, and plus special services structures and leaders. Up to the beginning of the 20th century, the leaders of many countries were military men. Have a look at who ruled that all. Even ordinary people were also military, like Alexander Pushkin, for example, and he also might have cooperated with the state much more than we were told. Governors, ministers, they were all from the armed forces, from the military, and now it is really important. The military men have to uprise. The word of the officer should become the word of the society. When this salutation, comrade officer, should be widespread at the top as well, and then we will see how we should change the society, what we need. So we consider population. Yes, we can say, let's give birth to more babies, let's do that, let's do this, but we should also understand the quality. We should have a balanced structure of society without foreign or domestic migrants. We have to learn that. The matters of passionarity, armed forces, and industrial military complex, that is something really important. And it should not be just us saying that you have to love your motherland, you should be a patriot, and so on. No, that's not the point. There are schools and there are team sports. They have to be present at schools, something that we are void of. And I will not name everything that I have on my slides, but there is a short description of the main facts that have to be changed. The necessary parts of quality, the goals that we have to set and attain, to have changes by mid-21st century, and events that will help us that. Science and technology are of utmost importance. We have spoken about numbers, population, resources. We cannot complain about resources when we say that we do not have rare earth metals. Well, we do have them. We have not reached them yet. And Yakutia in reserves can have more than other countries. And the question is whether we need that. From time to time, we do have this conversation. We need more people, more economy to extract that all, to direct that all. And why? Why are we saying that we will allocate more resources than needed? Why do we funnel, why do we send crude oil and gas in that amount to the market? This all has to be clearly understood, and the Soviet system did not imply those, and then gas in exchange of pipes and so on. In science, it is not all that easy. When special military operations started, we had a very pleasant moment. A great number of young people started working at different plants, factories, enterprises. We understood that there was split, broken connectivity between generations. And there was a very pleasant situation that we faced. We still had those people who were 60, 70 years old, and they received young people that became craftsmen in 2 or 3 years. A couple of years more, they will turn into masters that would create masterpieces at the level of different engineers and lathing machine operators, because they will manufacture more. And that is the same that we have in science. The current Russian system of science needs reforms, not on the Western type. The question is that of engineering and engineering school that is unique. And China, for example, does not have it. China can copy, ideally. China can make some elements, some repeats, and some remakes, but it cannot create. The next question is that of economy and resources.
Let me finish first, and then we'll take the questions from the floor. So, resources, production. We say a lot that state planning is a prerequisite. Economy of planning of for big or for systemic industries is important, but the state plan, the way that it existed, it dismantled Soviet Russia. We need to get back to the principles of Stalin's economy. The upper level, big businesses, they need to be planned, but medium-sized businesses were artels in the past. Only 8% of the economy, but giving 3/4 of all the products. We shouldn't get back directly to Stalin's models, but try to understand how their balance was found. We need to search more, not blindly copy and simulate. We need to revive what Vernadsky talked about. We need to establish commissions on labor productivity, on natural resources. It's not part of the state plan. It's planning for dozens of years. It's not a five-year periods as we had in the Soviet system, but far longer periods. And the question of elites is also a very important question. Second part of this year will be a battle of cultures, a fight for minds. We need a system to shape and educate elites. We need to find people of similar minds, thinking. So it's not kinship, it's not blood, but it's about spirit, it's about thinking. We need to find meaning and senses. Russia is not a global project in the sense that we want to create many, make everyone Russian. No, Russia has very good principles. We are against the rise of any other global project, of any other monopolies to meanings. The world needs to be multi-ethnic, culturally diverse. Something what was seen in the system after the Napoleonic Wars, when Russia was a country, when it tried to stop that country from dominating, a restrictive power. And we're doing the same today. We don't want to allow globalism of any kind, leftist or right. No. Humanity, our world is polyphony. It's diverse. We can weaken America, but we can't destroy it, and we shouldn't do that. It should be one of the countries providing diversity. It's a Babylon Tower, and there are so many ethnicities and cultures. And today, we have arrived at a point when these meanings, when these structures are getting closer to one another, and that's a good thing. We have overcome almost the conflict between the white and the red, the white and the red, the civil war, if you remember, in the early 20th century, and it's a good thing. The areas, directions, and goals, we can discuss for hours, but we don't have much time. The format is a TED Talk difference. I thank you for your attention, for your interest. God help us in the nearest months. We will toast to our victory in this war, and then we'll build new things. We'll build a new empire, because Russia without an empire will not be Russia, even if some people don't like this. The Russian world, the Russian civilization. We're not a country civilization. We're much more than a country. We're an empire. Where's the border of Russia? In 3 or 5 countries. Can we identify our borders? And the empire will broaden, will extend its borders. Russian civilization should grow, should expand the same way as the Russian nation grows, broad and whole-spirited nation, encompassing all the ethnicities and peoples that are part of us. There will be new protectors, new constituent entities, and this is our power. This is what other countries of the world are not capable of. Thank you for your attention.